from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
We are your hosts for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And so we do this show, and we have a website.
We do.
ChatterboxGameshow.com is our website.
And usually the light turns on when we're on the air, at least one of them. Usually one's defective.
But yeah. Maybe right we're now, not both actually of them are on the air.
Right. They're right. Both defective.
Norm has announced that they're both defective, so we're just going to assume we're actually on the air. All right, so I'm going to announce to you two, my joystick is minutes from being completed.
And you're not making a euphemism for anything.
No.
It's an actual joystick.
I'm building an arcade joystick for the upcoming release of Street Fighter 4.
Is the Xbox button on there? Nice.
Yeah, it is, dude. It's in there now.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to do is mount the joystick housing under the board and then just wire a few wires up. And
sweet.
Most of it's done.
I'm excited to see it when it's done because it looks awesome.
It does. It's
dude,
pretty killer.
The 4 that you painted on. It's like the coolest part.
It is good. See, I knew that was an extra touch. It was nice. So I may make a second one for a friend or just keep around or whatever. But I was showing Ara before the show that the button layout I used
was we were discussing the science of button layouts and joysticks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
apparently far more precise than I ever imagined.
I've done a lot of research for this project, right? And there's a website. I don't know who the hell runs it, but for anyone interested in this sort of project, you should go to slagcoin.com, S-L-A-G. coin.com. It well, it has lots of different pages about building an arcade controller, but it also has layouts from real arcade machines with like exact millimeter measurements and diagrams and stuff for the buttons.
Internet is wonderful.
What?
The internet is wonderful.
Oh yeah, it is. Dude, it took me forever to find that site. I don't know how I found it, but so it's pretty awesome, and it shows like here's the original Street Fighter machine, but its buttons are wider than normal. Current machines these days use this layout, blah blah blah. And it shows all these different machines. Some have curved, some are straight, and then it talks about how like some Taito cabinet or somebody's generic Vulix, I don't know what that means, some cabinet uses a button configuration where you've got two rows of three buttons, but the bottom row is slightly shifted to the left, and then there's two more buttons that are next to all those and shifted down. And I couldn't figure out why that would be a good thing to do, but I realized looking at the tournament sticks being made by Mad Catz for Street Fighter 4 that they use that layout. And I realized reading on Wikipedia about Street Fighter 4 that it's not a CPS2 or CPS3 machine. It's actually in the Vulix cabinet. I said, oh, well, that's why it matches up with the button configuration that I saw on Slagcoin. And then I realized...
You mean like it was custom made just for that cabinet?
No, that cabinet uses that configuration. And then Street Fighter was put into that, you know, existing generic cabinet.
Yeah.
It's
probably just
obviously
its
a Street Fighter 4 cabinet, but they were using what someone else used as a generic cabinet. Like in Japan, there's some simple cabs.
Right.
So anyway, it's actually good to have the bottom row shifted slightly to the left.
Why is that?
Because Street Fighter 3 and Street Fighter 4 and probably some other Capcom fighting games have commands that are performed with both light buttons or both medium buttons or both strong buttons, hard, strong, heavy, whatever. And so when you're pressing them with your thumb and your index finger, in the natural position of your hand, your thumb is going to be to the left of your index finger.
Ah, look at that.
And so it's good to have the bottom row slightly shifted to the left. And so I kept it because originally I told you that I was going to actually shift them and keep them you know, vertically aligned.
Yeah.
And I decided not to because I realized, wow, Street Fighter 3, like to throw, it's both light buttons or something.
That's nice.
And Street Fighter 4 has a new part of its fighting system that uses the two light buttons. Too light or too medium or too strong.
They're pretty smart when they came up with that.
Yeah. So I went with that. I'm very excited. It's just about done. I just, like I said, just need to mount the joystick housing and we're all set. Most of the wiring is already done. All the fancy woodwork. It's super fancy and super simple, right?
Can I come over and use it and break it by accident?
You're likely to break my stuff, but you're welcome to come over and try it. But you don't even like fighting games.
It's not that I don't like fighting games.
No, but he does like breaking things.
It's not that I don't like fighting games. It's just that, like, I don't understand them.
They're too hard for you.
I just don't understand them.
Rich talked about this on our new fancy secret forums. that I sort of laughed when I realized he didn't know how to play Street Fighter 2.
I don't get
it. I think I know what he's talking about. Because
he's too young.
It was Ryu I was playing,
no,
right?
Well, listen to this. Because some fighting games will instantly click with me. And several others I will never understand. For example, like Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but
that game makes sense
doesn't
to
even,
me.
He doesn't
that
even
game
understand.
Does not make sense to me.
No.
He doesn't understand classic fighting games. The whole quarter motion thing, like it's not even in his brain.
I
know the quarter.
Can you do a fireball?
Circle forward.
You can't do a fireball.
No, I know
you?
How to do that kind of stuff.
But yeah, but can you do a fireball?
But yes.
Like on command, like whenever you want?
No.
I can do a fireball right now and I'll burn your face. No. What was confusing me is, okay, so it's like there's two buttons that punch and two buttons that kick. The two
Three.
Punch buttons?
Three.
No, well, I was just playing on I found two buttons that
he was playing on the Xbox controller.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, these two punches are different. I can see that they're different when I press them.
Yep.
He does different punches.
Right.
The two kicks, exactly the same animation. I did it.
So he was using light and medium kick. That's what was mapped to the front face.
What
the
difference was the slight sound was like a whoosh.
They're not
a,
the same.
And what you didn't notice,
hey, Captain, they're not
was
the
that
same.
They also act the medium one is slower than the light one.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It
then
trust
your TV
me.
Okay. Doesn't show it.
Okay. Either. Okay. Look. There's only three possibilities. Either you were on drugs, or you mapped the buttons wrong. Or
it was default mapping.
Default
it was light
mapping.
Medium.
Or you were on drugs.
And seriously,
the sound is different.
The sound is barely different. It's barely different.
But it's slower. And if you were hitting me, like we weren't fighting each other, we were just playing with the controls.
Yeah.
But if you had hit me, it would have taken more energy off.
Okay. But the slowness of it was unnoticeable.
This is what we like to call in the games business subtlety.
It's
if you were to continually press the button,
mm-hmm.
then you would see the difference between light and medium.
Okay, well I'd have to do that then because when I was first doing it, I was like, okay, he kicks. It's a high kick.
Also, like since when is this a point of discussion?
No, I'm just saying like why would they have the same exact animation?
Okay, but it's not.
But have it 0.02 seconds slower.
The animation is exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
The timing of the animation, the sound.
Okay, hold on. Which Street Fighter are you talking
this
about?
This is
here?
The
Street Fighter
Super
Street Fighter 2 Turbo
Remix.
HD Remix.
Oh, I wonder maybe they effed up something.
No.
I don't know. It's
don't
the exact
it's
same
different?
Animation.
Well, all right, I'm going to have to consult my Street Fighter experts.
Ken,
that's all I have to say.
Ken doesn't have the same animation
Ken is
for light and medium kick. Okay. But
it was
but
Ryu.
Ryu. However you want to pronounce it,
yeah.
It's gotta be real.
Does have the same animation.
You don't think
frames.
They might have effed it up? Maybe it's a bug.
No, they didn't. It's common in Street Fighter where some light and medium attacks, punches or kicks or whatever. Plus, I showed him if you jump in the air,
right. It's different when you're in the
then
air.
Then the light yeah. kick versus
it
medium
is different.
Kick are different.
And
one's a knee
well,
and one's
sure.
a kick.
But what doesn't make sense to me is why they would ever think it'd be a good idea to have the same animation on the ground for the two different kicks, but barely change the speed of it.
Do you have any idea how many attacks each character has? There's high attacks, there's crouching attacks, there's jumping attacks, there's
yeah.
jumping forward or backwards attacks.
I understand.
And they
that.
Each have six buttons. So if a couple of the animations are the same, but functionally they're different,
Lame.
It doesn't matter. Players know what button they press.
No excuse. Because as me playing it, I haven't played Street Fighter 2 since I was like 10. I'm like,
moron.
This is the same thing.
Yeah, you'll be pretty confused when you play with Balrog or... Or the girl from Street Fighter 3.
Balrog? Are we talking about the gigantic flaming monster from Lord of the Rings?
No, we're talking about the boxer in the American version, or Vega. Or
Vega.
Excuse me, M. Bison in the Japanese version. He's got three punch and three kicks, but if you hit the kick buttons, he punches.
That's horrendous. People like this game?
This is...
By the way, story time?
I can't believe that you've decided, out of
wait,
all things to criticize,
wait.
That this
when
is one
When you press the
them.
Kick button with this character, he actually punches instead?
Yeah, and
he
a,
doesn't kick.
And there's a character in Street Fighter 3, a female...
I don't accept this.
A female African warrior character who has, again, three punches and three kicks,
Elena.
But she
right.
only kicks, regardless of what you press.
I don't accept this. This is bad.
Yeah. Anyway,
I have a wonderful analogy of how ridiculous this conversation is somewhere in my brain.
Like,
I just didn't find it.
Hey, let's create a new character, but you know what?
We've only got a minute left. I'm going to tell a little
story.
We're
running out of punching animations.
Abstractions.
Right, let's just kick instead.
So I'm your preppy little white boy. Grew up with parents who, you know, weren't poor. And they sent me to Switzerland when I was like 14 to try and learn French. It was after I had a year of French in junior high. So they sent me there. And of course, I didn't learn a damn
they
thing.
They speak French in Switzerland?
In the little cafeteria, like, hangout area, there was one arcade machine, and I guess every once in a while they would change the game, but for the duration of my stay there, it was Street Fighter 2.
Was it Le Street Fighter?
No.
Le Fighting.
So it was Street Fighter 2, but there were only three buttons, so they only mapped the three punches. Right?
Nice.
And so just doing that, playing that game with that setup was an experience, but there was one time I played, and there were certain groups of people, right? There were a bunch of Americans there trying to learn French, and there were a bunch of other foreigners trying to learn English. Two different languages were taught at this university.
Nice.
Specifically, there were a bunch of Arab kids, and I was the little Jew, right? And so, like, I went in there and cleaned a house on this Arab kid. He got really upset and totally wanted to fight me and told him I owed him his 5 francs or something because I played the game, like, anyone can join in, and I beat him.
Yes, well,
so suddenly I had it was a debacle. I was like, dude, I'll Hadouken your ass.
Well, zut alors.
But I won. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're talking about Street Fighter.
It's because the two new ones, two through four,
apparently.
They're making a new movie, too.
But did you...
They are.
Look, I just have one question for you guys.
Yeah.
Have you played Street Fighter 1?
Yeah, I have it for the TurboGrafx CD.
In the arcade.
Fighting Street.
Yes.
I didn't play it in the arcade.
In the arcade, yeah. There was one button. It was this gigantic...
Well, it was two buttons. One for punch and one for
button.
Kick. Yeah. It was...
And it was like you had to, like... press it with like different amount of force, I guess.
Yes, it was pressure sensitive.
It was
based
bizarre.
On air pressure.
Okay.
There were two buttons, one for punch, one for kick, and the harder you hit it, the harder it acted.
I think on mine, somebody just basically punched away
the second button. So it was
one.
Punching only.
Yeah.
It was Punch Fighter!
The machines kept breaking, so they changed it to digital control with three buttons.
Gotcha.
Yeah, makes a little more sense. Also a little easier to play.
That game also sucked balls.
Yeah.
It was that first one was so bad. You were Ryu if you were player one.
Mortal Kombat wasn't very good either, but MK2 was way cooler.
You don't understand, though. You were Ryu if you were player one. You were Ken if you were player two.
That's
it.
Yeah, and it was so hard to pull those moves off. It was impossible.
It was impossible.
No one could throw a fireball or do the kicks.
I think even the order of... the motion was slightly different compared to where the button was. Yeah, at least on the TurboGrafx version, because I played that one more than the arcade, you had to actually, I think, press the button and then do the motion right afterward.
Maybe that's why I could never pull it off.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's bizarre.
Anyway, Pen15 is calling about Street Fighter, so while we're talking about that, before we give it up,
maybe he can set us straight. I'm sure that he's rolling.
I have a feeling he's going to yell at you, Rich.
We're making.
He's
going to
yell at me.
Pen, sir, you are on the air with Chatterbox.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, dude?
I'd like to know that it is 11:20, and I'm going to say the word, I agree with Rich.
Oh!
Street Fighter is the same game with the smallest amount of changes because that's what Japanese developers do.
Because they've already attained perfection.
You're going to love Street Fighter 4 when you realize it's just like Street Fighter 2.
No, I know. I already knew this when they announced that, it's basically the exact same game, except the small innovations that they made in Street Fighter 3, they took those out.
Well, they also added in new ones in place. There's a new fighting system as well.
Well, it was interesting how you interpreted what I said last week about Soul Calibur's control versus Street Fighter's archaic control, which is you took it as, they did that so people can button mash. And
No, I said that was one of the effects of it. I didn't say it was the intention.
Okay, yeah, because...
Who knows what Japanese developers are thinking in the first place?
Soul Calibur, the control scheme actually, I'd say, is a little bit tougher when you actually understand the game because every little movement that you use matters. And that's not how Street Fighter works. Street Fighter is more about the big moves. And
it matters until you have a three-year-old who's vomiting on the controller and somehow beats you.
Alon, one thing I was going to say, though, because you posted in the forums.
I wouldn't agree with that. Street Fighter is not necessarily all about the big moves.
Alon had posted in the forums saying that, like, a noob could like just button mash and like beat somebody who's good at the game.
Not always.
If you watch somebody that's good at the game, he will always win.
Exactly. I've almost never lost in Soul Calibur. against anybody, and it's because I know exactly what to do.
If you know how to use a character,
if you button mash, the only directional D-pad buttons that you're going to use is forward and down. So I know all the attacks that's possible from somebody who's just button mashing, because they would never dream of thinking of hitting back or up unless they're blocking.
No, what they're each hand is going into a seizure motion where they hit back and forward all the time. I don't agree with
you. Because they get everybody who button mashes, like they'll pick someone like Maxie, and they get into the same button patterns. And unlike most fighting games where, because it is an actual 3D fighting game, if you sidestep and they keep button mashing, they will stay locked on to the direction that they're moving. So literally you hit up and you've won the match because they can't hit you anymore. And you totally destroy them.
That's I'm definitely not as good as you, sir, at Soul Calibur.
And I just hate the fact that they won't update the controls for Street Fighter because...
What do you mean update the controls? To what?
The Hadouken motion, it's unnecessary. They make you go through these ridiculous, like, actions to do simple moves in the game.
You see the difference? They're youngsters.
It's not like accounting. It's not like, you know... I did, like, the whole idea of looking at it from the point of view that it's unnecessary to me.
How do you even do a Hadouken? Because I did one by accident.
It's down, down, forward, forward, and then a punch.
Because when I was button mashing, I threw some Hadoukens. I know that.
And in a game like, there are some Hadouken motion moves in Soul Calibur, but at least in that game it makes sense because it uses all the buttons. There's actually a move specifically for diagonal forward, diagonal upward, diagonal backwards. So at least it makes sense in that game.
Wait. What
no
do you mean it makes
make
sense?
It that complicated in a Street Fighter.
How is one configuration more or less arbitrary than another in a fighting game?
Because I can do one in 0.1 seconds versus 0.7 seconds because the motion is a lot more complicated in Street Fighter when it doesn't need to be.
So, well, see, that's the whole
thing. I wonder if you've ever seen a good player in Street Fighter.
It changes.
Actually, my best friend is one of the best players.
It changes the dynamic of the whole interaction, right? I mean, your tactics are going to be very different if you know that you're going to have to take, you know, 0.7 seconds to execute some move versus, like, 0.1 or whatever. So I would look at it as unnecessary.
It does change your tactics, but it's also... It would help new players who aren't going to buy arcade sticks, who are going to experience it on the terrible D-pad known as the Xbox 360 controller. They are not adjusting to how people are going to play this game.
Well, of course not, but they don't care either.
And that's why I'm not going to buy this game. I'm going to play my best friend's copy because he's a huge Street Fighter fan, but...
Are you going to make your friend jealous about my awesome joystick?
Street Fighter is not necessarily the type of game. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It is definitely not the type of game to try to make any accommodations whatsoever to the new player. It's just a straight-up hardcore fighting game. You know?
And why not? Why not
what do you mean,
include
why not?
Everybody into the game? Red Star. Red Star had an easy mode. Why? Because you wanted some people to be able to beat the game.
There's actually, you know what, there's some value in wanting to appeal to a large crowd, and there's also some value in deliberately not doing that. Think of any highly inaccessible piece of art that's highly lauded in the world, you know? Some of the greatest books and plays and operas are incredibly inaccessible, and yet they're touted as, you know, some of the greatest works of art in the world.
Well, a lot of that has to do with, like, intelligence on understanding, like, the book or a play.
Well, there's a certain depth to it, right? Here's the point.
Gameplay ability and intelligence are...
No. Here's the point, is that there's a certain level of depth to it that in order for you to gain an appreciation for it, you have to actually invest some time and effort.
Yeah. And money.
And... Well, of course.
That's the main problem, is that I am at a handicap if I use an Xbox 360 controller, a PS2 controller, whatever controller that's not an SNES controller, at a handicap.
Of course.
The game does not update to that.
The game was never designed to be played on anything other than a joystick, of course.
It's coming out on console, so shouldn't that change? It's just that Capcom is a really, really lazy company.
Dude, let me tell you, if you plan on getting this game and using the default Xbox control pad... you're wasting your time.
I mean, well, it's not
many,
like
no. Do you realize how many people are going to buy the game though and use the 360 controller?
Exactly. That's my point.
It's not like there's like a Street Fighter overlord who is like dictates, you know, every single thing that happens to, you know, the Street Fighter estate. It's like, no, they're just like, oh, look, this game sells. Let's put it out on this console. Capcom doesn't care if, you know, the main interface for playing the game is not readily available to everyone.
Well, that's why they're working really hard to release. They're releasing three different controllers for each system to accommodate people.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go.
Although I'm not a huge fan of their control pad.
Are those arcades coming out in Japan? Probably not.
The arcade sticks?
Yeah.
Of course.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot more available in
Japan.
But
it was obviously an American who, like, took the initiative to say we should make a specific arcade pad.
You're talking about Seth?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he worked with them on
Seth
it.
Seth worked with Mad Catz.
Mad Catz is a U.S. company.
Yeah, obviously Mad Catz.
I bet you.
Is
I'm sure Hori is also releasing control sticks.
I'm pretty sure that the Japanese area of Capcom wasn't like, we need to make a really good joystick so they can play this.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
I don't know.
Because
guess how many people own the 360 in Japan? 12 people. That's how many 360s they've sold.
The game's coming out for 360 and PS3, and I won't be surprised
regardless.
If it
less
moves
people
some systems.
Own a PS3.
My main problem with the control is that the controls are complicated for no reason. The original reason to have, you know, complicated controls in fighting games was that moves were secret and people had to figure them out. They talked about this on another podcast, and that was the whole point. But
there
now
are no other
that
podcasts.
Games literally released, now that games literally release with.
Wait, who said the moves are secret?
The moves, there's no, it makes no sense why they make it complicated to play.
No, I disagree with you. It's the moves weren't made to just be secret. That was part of it, part of the learning. But the point is that an expert player has expert moves and he understands them. It's the same thing with Soul Calibur and Tekken, where you've got 50 hit combos that you can only link together and you have to have them memorized. It's the same thing.
And I will say this: there's the highest level of Street Fighter play is not about doing those complex motions better than the other person.
Not at all.
The highest level of play is all about basically positioning and distancing and poking at the other player.
Yeah, yes, but if you could do those motions better than the other person, you will always win.
No, real players playing each other can all perform every move they need.
Because
except maybe Zangief's 360
thing. I personally have, when I was playing on the Dreamcast Street Fighter 3, I would have trouble shooting fireballs from the other side. Of the screen, from the right side of the screen. And all my best friend had to do was jump to the other side, and he knew I was at a disadvantage.
Yeah,
and
but there's other things
realized,
you can do. The fireball is not, like, going to solve everyone's problems.
Every move
it's
has a counter move. Every move is a counter move. Anyway, we'll get off the 2D fighter topic when we come back from the break. During the break, you won't hear a commercial for UAT. Maybe after.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
You need to stop talking.
I'm sorry!
All right.
At least he apologized.
Well, were we on air? Because
yes,
I don't know
yes.
if we're on air because the thing's not lighting up.
We are back. Yeah. Norm's trying to tell you. Too bad your back's the Norm.
I was trying to explain
get
to him.
Get with the program.
I was trying to explain to him the PSP and the PS2 processors are very, very similar.
All right. Fine.
Except the PSP is way slower.
I think it's at 350 megahertz.
Why
on the
do we
PSP.
Even have these discussions?
Because you were mentioning the 80,000 gigabyte storage on the PSP.
Apparently, it's possible.
Yeah.
80,000 gigabytes.
Yep.
Gigawatts.
So, is that getting in the realm of petabytes?
Listen, I promised our listeners a UAT advertisement.
Petabytes?
So, if you're interested in going to the University of Advancing Technology, head over to uat.edu and learn what they have to offer you when you want to become a game designer.
Do it.
There. So we got that out of the way. So, Penn continues to badger me about Street Fighter. He says, how would it hurt to make the controls more accessible? And it would hurt because
it would change the dynamics of the game.
Exactly.
That's like saying, like, how would it hurt if you had a drum, like, some rockin' drum beat in Beethoven's Fifth?
Honestly, I just think it's funny that he's whining away about a couple of moves that aren't that hard to do. It's
not
a quarter motion or a half motion or a charge motion.
They're hard,
like, what's
from
so
him,
hard?
And I'm sorry, Penn, to say, but it just sounds like you're whining because you just don't have the chops to deal with it.
Listen, doing a Dragon Punch is not that difficult. And it's one of the most difficult moves in the game. I mean, until you go onto the super moves and all that stuff, which require double motions of things. And but they're just, they're not
I'd
that
like,
hard when
I'd
you
like
practice
to hear
a little bit.
From a real, like, actual, like, Street Fighter expert to call in and weigh in on this.
Don't base your opinion on the use of the Xbox 360 D-pad to do anything.
Yeah. 866-536-1100.
The Xbox 360 on-screen keyboard is an absolute piece of junk, partly because it's slow, but also because I'm forced to use the D-pad on it.
The D-pad is just horrendous.
Crap. I end up using the joystick instead. Can you believe that? A joystick for a keyboard?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Then you could get the 360 controller that has the better D-pad on it that they made very, very few of them.
Oh, yeah.
But you're never going to get one of those
because yeah,
they're orange.
About.
They're like orange.
The special one for the developers or something?
No, it was just like they made it for something specific, but then they didn't make them.
Nintendo needs to let other people use their D-pad. Anyway, we've got Fopo on the phone. Do we want to do that or go over a couple things first?
Let's take it.
All right, cool. So, Fopo, Scott, you're on the air.
Yes, I am.
What's up, okay. Scott?
Not much. I was playing Grand Theft Auto today, and I was playing a bunch of games earlier as well, but I was playing Grand Theft Auto today, and I noticed that...
Wait, what did you say? Grass Stella?
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. Sorry.
He's okay, Canadian.
Why?
Let it slide.
Okay.
Four
so,
or like the original?
Yeah, four.
Okay.
Yeah. So I noticed that online multiplayer, actually, a lot of people tend to focus on skill, like how they can aim and shoot, but it's rare that you find someone else who tries to use the environment or whatever against their opponents or tries to get an advantage based on the context that's around them. So I was called in just to kind of partially rant about it and also say some common tips that a lot of people just don't do. One thing I noticed is that very few people in online multiplayer games, especially shooters, don't look up. There was several times I was playing games at Halo. I was crouched on a door frame in plain sight, and people just walked underneath me without even shooting at me for, in some cases, minutes without even noticing I'm there, even though I'm in plain sight.
You are playing against bad people.
No, it actually is a lot of people. Even in clan tournament matches in Battlefield, I've had C4 packs in plain sight on ceilings and blew people up as they walked underneath it, not noticing it's there.
They don't deserve to be in a clan.
Well, I mean, it's not that surprising, right? I mean, you don't normally expect things to come from above.
Yeah, so
yes,
that's
you
my,
do.
What do you mean, yes,
that's
you do?
That's where grenades come from.
Okay, you know, I'm not even going to have this discussion with you, Rich.
Okay, I'm just saying you always look everywhere is what
okay,
it comes down
okay,
to.
Okay, but you can't be looking everywhere all at the same time, can you?
If you have a mouse, you can. Oh.
He's got two eyeballs, man.
Yeah.
Dude. That's why
you have another eyeball on the other side of your head.
My first rule is that no one looks up. So, yeah.
Well, nothing like manipulating the shortcomings of others.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to point out, and, you know, clearly you've understood that you can use this to advantage.
Yep, and a lot of people don't. And another thing is mini-maps. If a game gives you a mini-map, for the love of God, use it.
I don't... Oh, yeah.
Like the radar on any game that they
radar on Halo, minimap on Grand Theft Auto, whatever.
Call of Duty.
A lot of people just do not use it. I was actually playing against a guy a while ago in Grand Theft Auto, and I was sniping, and I kind of stuck a little bit with legs, so I was trying to shoot them and wasn't actually getting them. So they ran towards me, and I ran around the block, around some parked cars, and looked at my minimap, waited to see if they got right in the corner. Because everyone was in Team Deathmatch. You can see everyone. Pulled out a rocket launcher, blew up all the parked cars, and killed them all. Because I saw where they were in a mini-map, where they didn't. And actually, later on, I saw him trying to go around the other side of the block, and I positioned myself to aim at a parked car he was trying to get into, because
right,
I saw in the mini-map where he was.
Dude, I got to stop you, Phobo. I'm sorry. I'm ready to blow up my own brain with a rocket. This is. Do any of us have thoughts on this?
I just think he's giving tips on how to play against crappy console gamers.
I'm looking at a picture of some ass.
You want to talk about the X-Blades box?
Like, I think a lot of these things, and I do notice these, like, people not using minimaps and, like, not looking up. Like, they just seem so amateurish as multiplayer, though. Like...
I mean, listen, I'm with you, Fobo. People don't look up.
Yep.
They aren't aware of their surroundings. This, by the way, is a problem in real life as well. People just aren't aware of their surroundings, hence car accidents and the ability of others to trip you when you walk by. So, yeah, I'm with you. Don't care that much because I don't play those games all that often.
I guess.
Rich, however, he's a big first-person shooter
player. If you play any of these games on PC against people that are actually good, these tips don't help you.
Yeah, I admit, Rich kicks my ass anytime we play Halo, which is approximately never, but when we do...
Yeah. When we played Halo 2... I know we had a Halo 2 party at one point, and Halo 3, and you're just like, oh, I died again. And I'm like, what up? And then gets all sad.
You're speaking of that, but in one of the Team Warfare matches I had for Battlefield, I find that people, even if they're surprised, you can get a jump on them. Like, there's a time where you can, people trying to capture a flag. I put C4 all around, and there's four people, three of them were killed in the explosion. The fourth guy wasn't. But because he was surprised, you were able to jump him. So even just getting a surprise that the guy's not even in is good enough to just run up from the front.
Why don't we ever play games with our listeners?
I don't know, because I don't have a 360 right now.
Dude,
I only have a PC.
Douche.
Because my PC's way cooler than yours.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to play PC games. But, all right, cool. Let's move on. Let's move on to some ass. Thanks for calling in, Scott. I appreciate it. We're going to move on to box art now. I saw this mentioned on a website. You've got it here.
Yeah, I really can't pry my eyes away. But
from booty?
But maybe I should tell the other listeners what we're talking about here.
Yeah, please do. Because I don't know what this game is. I don't think anybody knows
what you're talking about.
So we don't care about the game. This game is called X-Blades.
Apparently the protagonist is a female blonde character.
It's a female blonde character with a nice ass. And apparently in Japan... the Xbox 360 cover art is different from the PlayStation 3 cover art. Now, I'm gonna describe this to you all, and then I'm gonna let Rich see what it looks like for the first time, and you'll hear his.
Can I see it first?
No, after.
Please.
Then you'll hear his reaction. So, basically, the original cover art for this X-Blades game in Japan is this nicely illustrated blonde character with a very nice ass, and as nice ass characters are wont to do. She's pointing her ass at you, and she's just very slightly tilting her torso so that you can maybe catch a glimpse of her face as well.
Point is back to the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
So, or ass to the camera, as it were.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, apparently, interestingly enough, for PAX, they altered the cover. So that instead of you seeing this nicely glistening spherical ass, right? There's a much larger bikini bottom on the bottom. So
still small,
but altogether it completely removes the whole bulbous ass effect, I have to say. And so Sony decided, oh, we like the non-bulbous partially covered ass better than the bulbous almost completely uncovered ass. And so
this is great because you're going to be at the store buying the game. You'll see the Xbox 360 version, the PS3 version. Say, oh, well, clearly I should buy the PS3 version.
So I guess there's more clothing on the PS3 version, right?
Yeah, so, but is that going to – what is that going to change?
Well, if I saw this at the store, I'd be like, wow, this version of the game has less clothing. Anyway, apparently Sony officially made some kind of statement. Actually, the developer Topware was the one who made this statement saying that Sony actually preferred the more clothed version of the image, and that's why they used it on their cover art. Here's the kicker. For the U.S., what do we get? We get to see her front side and no ass, and her buttless chaps are...
We do get the juglies, though.
...are in the front, and you don't see... They're the same. They're just... It's much less interesting. Here you go, Rich.
All right, that was long and drawn out for some simple news bite.
Yeah, but it's a nice butt, though.
Yeah, so Japan, they've got one cover, kind of like two, and in America, it's totally different. This has happened before, though. But Sony wanted the PAX version, which is slightly more covered. You can go online and find this. Search for X-Blades.
So I didn't know ass was so controversial. I don't know. It's just an ass.
We get navel.
Weird.
We do get navel. Mm-hmm. We get a tattoo on the navel. Mm-hmm.
She's actually prettier in the U.S. version.
I don't think so.
On the box art.
I disagree.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back. We got one more segment left. Stay tuned, everybody.
Alright guys, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Have you had enough of the ass?
I've been looking up more of the ass.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah. I wonder if you were to go to UAT, our wonderful sponsor,
would you find ass there?
Would you study box art? Like the economics of box art?
I would study the economics of asses on box art.
All right.
Box art.
You can if you go to uat.edu.
You might get kicked out for that, but
learn more about the University of Advancing Technology. Woo! So
video games.
There's a couple things. We don't really have that much time to run over everything that we have.
Yeah, I have a couple of little funny news stories here.
One little news bite that I surprised Rich with earlier was that Crytek bought out Free Radical, the Time Splitters people.
For an undisclosed amount.
Doesn't make sense.
Of course. Who knows how much money Crytek has.
$5.
I don't know how they have any money. But
well, I mean, they made the Crytek engine, which they licensed to other developers. So
is that where their money comes from?
They probably make some money that way, because Crysis didn't sell.
Far Cry 2 is probably profitable, too, so people seemed interested in that.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to do your
things? But what other games actually use the Crytek 2 engine?
I don't know.
The CryEngine 2?
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I know games do.
I don't know, but what I do know is that EA...
Mm-hmm.
So you know how they decided, by the way, guys, we're laying off 10% of our employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently a couple days ago, maybe even today.
We should dislike EA because of this?
Today, they... Can you shut his mic off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Today they decided, you know what? We lost way more money. We thought we were going to lay off 100 more people than we told you. So that's interesting.
Okay.
Yet another company, the whole industry is falling apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's something cool. There's apparently in Japan, there's a wanted poster, right, for this guy who did a hit and run. Apparently they were not able to find a picture of the guy who did the hit and run. Obviously it's a hit and run, but somehow they were able to find a picture of the guy's me. And so this wanted poster...
Wait, so it's actually that guy's me character?
Well, ostensibly, right?
Or did they just put up a me?
The report on Kotaku says that they weren't actually able to figure out precisely what it is. But obviously you can infer that this picture of this me is probably supposed to represent who they think is the guy.
Maybe it's just
who did the hit and run.
The Japanese people's extent of, you know...
Well, yeah, that's like
art.
Let's put some clip art on here. It's
artist rendering of the attacker.
That's the
whoever.
Japanese police force hard at work.
So
right
that,
there.
Here, take a look at that, Rich.
That is
that's
absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So, and apparently also moving on.
That's every quickly, Japanese guy with glasses.
Yeah,
is what that looks
the
like.
The guy is a tan. Okay.
Did you see this, Alon?
Some people have round heads. He has a long...
Yeah, he's got a little Skeletor face. It's very amusing. So apparently E3 this year is back and 10 times bigger than last year. So,
you know, I called the GDC people today asking what's up with our invitations.
Yeah, what's
up? If we're going to be able to go.
What's up with that?
Magically, they happened to have a meeting yesterday to look over various applications, and we'll hear from them the next day or two.
They had a meeting just for us.
It just happens to be yesterday that they looked at a ton of applications, except there's no such thing as an application, just an email address.
Right, so that's interesting.
So I still don't know if we're getting tooled around.
Well, I hope that we get in. I'm going.
We're
going
to show up anyways.
I'm going to show up anyways, but...
When is GDC?
So E3 is coming back, and they're going back to their lavish style of decadence.
Yeah. Let's review once again. I know I've said this before. Yeah. We'll review what happened. People somehow complained that there were too many virtually naked girls at E3. For whatever reason.
Too many? Not possible.
Probably because of the Super Bowl thing with Janet Jackson, whatever. Censorship was up in America. E3 was like, all right, no more booth babes at E3.
Booth babes are back now.
It lasted for exactly 1 year, no booth babes. The very next year they said, oh, it's going to be a reduced E3. It's going to be different this time. Press only, some weird stuff.
Right.
They did that for one more year, realized this is absolutely tanking. We have to bring back what we used to have. And now it's again no holds barred. But it was absolutely because of the no chicks.
Yep.
As soon as that happened, E3 was going downhill. They said no more women. It went downhill even more. And now
this makes me excited.
All the suits are coming back for the whore.
And, this makes
me
excited.
I'm looking forward to seeing the models who are representing the game.
Because you never got to go to the original
now
E3.
I can go. Now that E3's back, like I can go. Like E3 was like the thing like you always read about every year, and it's like I want to go to E3.
Yeah, you were too young.
And then
man.
It was like,
let me tell you how boring it gets, and how your feet hurt, and how there are not the parties like there are at GDC.
You just don't know where to find them.
Yeah, well that's
the parties are
that's
there.
Partly it, but
the parties are there.
Yeah. It was never as fun as GDC, actually. But it was way bigger and more full of excess than the other shows. But all right,
emphasis on the X.
Certainly happy to go if we can actually go to GDC.
Dibs.
Here's another quickie here. I just thought that was kind of curious, right? So there's this game design contest, okay? That was announced today.
A contest to design a game.
Yes, to actually implement a game. You can't send them a design document. That will not work. to create a Flash game about teen dating violence prevention and to do so without violent content or a violent
theme. Wait, is
game.
That...
What?
Dating violence in teams or teen, like
teens,
teenage?
Teens, not teams. No.
Dating violence.
Although that would be even worse, I don't think it's as widely practiced.
Just checking.
I didn't know that there was actually a National Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Week. I didn't realize it was that big a problem.
This is also like National Marijuana Month or something.
Yeah, I also didn't realize that we can somehow prevent teen dating by making games about it.
We want to prevent teen dating?
Teen violence dating.
Or maybe violence.
Dating violence?
Maybe violent teen dating, which I'm definitely not for.
Make me a sandwich. Like.
All right. So there's this game design competition, but... Are you all right?
I'm not all right.
I have to
retire for a second. Maybe I'll be back before the show is over.
I'd explain what Ara just did, but I really can't.
No. All right, so apparently... Wow, Ara had to leave the studio.
Oh, man.
He's like a five-year-old, man. That was hilarious.
I'm going to die.
So he was telling me about this earlier. Apparently there's this competition to make, to design this game, but you're not allowed to have it include violence in the game. So I guess you can't make a game about violence. You can, and I guess the difficult part is making the game about violence without allowing you to beat up your girlfriend or anything in the game.
Okay.
So the object of the competition is for people to create a Flash game about teen dating violence prevention and to do so without violent content or a violent theme, which means we're going to have a bunch of pop quiz games. And by the way, why does it have to be in Flash?
Because
it's so restrictive.
Makes it accessible to as many people as possible.
Yes, but what if I don't know Flash?
If you don't know Flash?
Can I use Flash
then
cards?
Then don't make the game. Then you're not a game designer if you don't know Flash, Alon. Yeah.
So... We're done with that.
Yeah.
Unless anybody has comments on making the game about teen violence prevention.
I bet you I know why they made the stipulation, though. Because like, you can't include violence, because then there'd be like 100 games submitted where you just beat up your girlfriend.
Yeah, well, it's about violence
and
prevention.
And be like, don't do that. And it'd be like, yeah, that's not good.
Well, I would just – my design would be beat her up as hard as you can, right? Show one of several different images, like crime photos and stuff, of women who are beat up. It's like – doesn't that look bad? Would you want to put your girlfriend through that?
Or they can make the Flash game where like you catapult the girlfriend and see how far you can launch her by making her hit like other
landmines. I'm pretty sure my friend made that for the iPhone.
You know the kind of Flash game I'm talking about. But you have the girlfriend, and then you'd have to have like landmines and like spikes and make them bounce and how many points you can get.
Like the game Pain in PS3?
Yeah, it'd be like that, but like Flash, because they've been around for 12 years.
All right. Cool.
Okay,
so,
kitten.
I was also reading earlier about moving on. We only have a couple minutes left. Moving on. So there's this discussion about possibility of prices, more prices in next generation games or current generation games.
More prices?
Getting slashed.
Oh.
Right. So apparently some games like Mirror's Edge were reduced price games. They're only $50, I guess, according to this article.
Oh, it could have been.
I don't know. But the idea is that some games will go from the $60 price point to something else. And then the claim is that, this is sort of a double-edged sword. Of course, consumers get their games cheaper, which is important in the economy and all that. But margin is taken away from, or profit is taken away from these publishers and developers and everyone involved. So,
but they could also sell more copies at a lower price.
What's funny to me is the end result of this article was like, so it's a double-edged sword for everybody. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when the economy tanks. Everybody loses. It's not like should one do better than the other. It's that we all have to accept that things are going into the crapper. But I was thinking about this further, though. Like, so there's someone I work with who constantly asks me. He doesn't quite get it. Like, what is the economy look, just because the stock market went down, how's that going to affect me? It's like, he hasn't lost his job, right? So yeah, you still have a job, still make money, you can still buy your stuff, right? So how will this affect your daily life? And that's a good question to pose towards gamers, because I know that a lot of gamers out there are younger and they don't, you know, understand the economics of things, and I'm not going to pretend that I understand the full reach of the economic problems that we're having, right? But, you know, we certainly hear about all these layoffs happening, and then you can extrapolate that there's going to be all sorts of tightening in just how games are made and the decisions that are made internally at these developers and publishers, what they're going to release, what types of projects they're going to seek out. Are they going to seek out the experimental ones like the Katamaris, right? Or the more plain Jane games that's the wrong term, I guess. Just the more expected games, like the sequels of things that have already done well, yeah. Right? And that's certainly a concern of mine. It's troubling because if you have, like, what was that game that BioWare put out recently? Mass Effect, right? That was, I wonder if you would even call it a gamble. It was a new IP with a lot of development time.
Well, BioWare always does new IP, though.
Yeah, I mean, so this perhaps isn't a good example, but imagine that, like, some big company.
Look at EA, they put out Dead Space. They worked with the developer came up with the idea, and they put out Dead Space. They gave them, like, 2-3 years to work on that game, and it was like...
But that's not going to happen anymore.
I think EA still has the ability to do that.
I haven't thought about prototyping forever, but apparently it's getting released in June. I wonder if they're pushing it up, because we've been working on it forever. We need to get it out there and make some money, finally.
I want to play that game.
Anyway, so I'm now starting to have concerns that 2009, 2010, and possibly 2011 will mean we don't get any cool games. Unless we like Wii games for some reason. Okay. By the way, I'd never heard of Tatsunoko versus Capcom. We got to talk about that after the show.
Okay.
But this is the end. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Everyone, send your wishes, good wishes to Ara.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.